Mr. Buchanan, Real Six. We're talking about going into lager, specifically probably about the first night, but we're talking about lagers generally. If you weren't on guard duty, would you actually get much sleep? Because
yeah, you slept and have a look, mended. Yeah, but your head just touched the pillow and you're going, and to get you up in the morning was different. You just shake hard. If you were last man on guard, you just shake them hard to get him up. You just flopped. I mean, it was. I think the tenseness, you're tensed all day, you're in action, you're all tensed up. And I think that made you dead beat when you went at night. In fact, you could hardly keep your eyes open.
Just a pillow? You wouldn't have a pillow, I presume?
No,
you mean just...
Kit bag or something, stuff it back into your tin hat and just put back.
Would you get many hours?
No, you never got that many hours, but 4 hours.
So you slept like the dead? For a short period of time?
Normally, they gave us pills to keep us awake for 24 hours, you know, during the landing, like we landed, before the landing was for them. We brought them too. And we used them occasionally when we were talking about the battles and that. I remember using these pills. But see, after 24 hours, you flaked out. I mean,
you couldn't take some more pills?
You couldn't. You had to take them under more or less, to say, under doctor's orders, because if you had taken them, then the commander had to know that the boys have got taking these pills, so after 24 hours, this tank was completely...
I think this comes back again, because I think on the Veer Road there was, because there's some talk about taking amphetamine. Was this the amphetamine or benzodrine?
Something.
What they speed, they call it now.
Keep your eyes open.
Now, normally, so next morning, basically, we'll go back to Shur. There was another day, it's quite hard fighting. I don't know whether you remember anything about that, the second day at Shur, because it seems like you had a bit of a disaster. I don't know whether you remember the second day, but the whole tank broke down when the main switch jammed. I don't know what this main switch was, and you had to be pulled out. Now, do you remember that at all? The electrics went, basically.
Yeah.
And you had a close escape because you were actually going to be shot, fired at by the Germans. You had to use your machine gun. You couldn't use your main gun because the shell had jammed. Do you remember that? No, that sounds bad, eh? So, anything else about that first, the attacks on Shur? Went on for 2 or 3 days.
I remember, this is the first time in action. We were pulled back. It may have been the incident where the tank solenoid went.
What is the solenoid? Is that just the electrics?
Just electrics, yeah. We dug trenches. When you stop, you dig a hole. But this is because of the first one. Latterly, we didn't bother after that, but after about 6 months in action, we decided to stop digging for victory. But this time, we dug this hole, and the driver and his co-driver had dug the trench next to the tank, and I had dug my trench in a hedge, in the bottom of the hedge, next to the hole, you see. And we're sitting having a cup of tea, brewing up. Now, this was before, this was after that, my battle where I had hit this tank, supposedly hit the tank, probably said I did, so I must have hit it. And these boning minis, you'd call them, the six-barrel mortars, they were firing regularly. But they were landing in a wood to our left, and we didn't bother them, we heard them coming off, they always see them starting off, and they landed in this wood, you know. And here they were sitting, whatever, and there was this mortar battery opened up again. We heard it starting off, and then in silence. They always say that when it hits you, you don't hear it, and right enough it came. It came screaming over our heads for 6 shell. One landed in my trench hole where I dug the hedge, because I was having a cup of tea. One hit the ground next to the tank. The shrapnel hit the tank and ricocheted onto us lying in this trench, and I got winded and got shot in the back, and I got a bit of still left in my hand yet, and my foot, the boot got hit, and immediately all scrambled to get underneath the tank, and the padre was there at the time, and this is where the laugh was. Well, we are good at getting under the tank, but the padre was And there's so many hooks in a tank, the cat finally, he got caught, his belt got caught in one of the hooks and was left literally spinning. Religious words, you know. But that was, it's the things that I remember, that the laughable things, you know, him swinging. And later on, my back was as sore as any, but it was only a small back, a small piece of metal, you know. And Brownlee had his cap on the aerial up in the top of the tank, and then got riddled with, and he was quite chuffed because in action, his cat was all riddled with holes, you know. But that was it, I remember that, that's when I got my wound.
How bad was it? I mean, had it broken? I mean, was it a bad cut or was it?
It burned, it's hot metal, you see, it burned. So that was it burned, it was far in, actually, you know. And Brownlee can run over, he was up at the head doctor's went and briefed him. She's in the hurt, I said, stuff like that. He came to buy it. And Hudson came with me, he says, right, you can go back to the hospital, the field hospital. He says, my driver, the coat that was a scout car, he jumped in the trench, his skin got off his knees. Which is a pretty bad thing, mind you, because you have to scrub the dust out of him when you get to the hospital. So he was going back and something, and he was going back to the scout car, and we went back. I was a man of the wounded, you know. And they went back and hanging on, got grim death on the scout car. That was a hairy life, I don't mind telling you. And we came to this crossroad, which the Germans were shelling. And they're very methodical, they always, once shell every 30 seconds, so you had to wait. And the mother police would wave you on. And then, however, we got past that all right, and we got in the hospital. It was just slip trenches in the ground, covered up. And then there's Marquis and there's a chap meeting that. Now I says, before you go anything, I says, I've got a piece of film back, but I says, as far as I'm going, it's okay. I mean, the officer said I could go back, so I mean, don't. And so he says, oh well, he says, if it festers, I'll come out. He says, if it doesn't fester, he says, he says, put a stick glass around. And the chap with his knees, his skin, that is, you know, he's got a scrub to get all the dirt out. He was sent back in. Because it was only a few hospitals, you see, they hadn't got the, it was only shortly after the meeting, you know. So that was mine. So I always, but I got a wee red stripe wounded, you know. But the worst thing, of course, my mother got a telegram. She was really, you know.
So you couldn't stop that happening?
No, you can't. Once you get your name in the book, it's automatic thing. And they send a telegram.
Now, how long were you out with that? Did you rejoin the unit? Or?
I was safer. They were safer up the front line. Oh, God, they were bombing. That was it. They were on the beaches then at the time, and they were bombing the beaches every night, you see, the Germans. They didn't come through the day because it was their supremacy.
So, how many did you just go straight back up to the unit?
I never. The scout car was going back. I said, well, wait, I'm going back with you. Mind you, I didn't get much sleep for 3 nights after it, because it's still that. But see, I went back to the tanks and it was safer up front. You know,
were you all right?
Yeah.
What about your hand?
That's all right. It's in the flesh of part of the hand, you see.
Oh, in
the. Yeah, that's the so. Hand yourself. I keep it always shut down.
Did it bother you at the time? Did it hurt?
It was painful. Again, it's very hot metal, you see, and it's burning. But,
it's just in the base of the thumb, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
The fleshy part.
No, I was happy to go back, because, again, when you go back to these places, you're impersonal, you know, you're just a number, you know, you don't know anybody, and you're sitting there, and you feel so much of that. So, I really stopped.
Now, while there was this broken down tank and you went into action with Steel Brownlee was left out of battle while you were on point 112. Now, did you go up onto point 112 or is that where you were wounded? Do you know what happened there? Was that before there or after? It's a bit confusing in the.
I don't know.
It says it seems to be after. He just says he rejoined and you'd been very slightly wounded. You'd had a sticky time. But do you remember that going into action with the other officer, Shannon, you thought it was? Was it? Mm. This other officer. When Steel Brownlee was left out of battle, you went in with another officer. Do you remember that?
No, Well, no, not then. When you get wounded, really get wounded when you cover up the country. We got another option, like, just sent him out of Saturday to go to the tent around there or something like that.
Right. There was quite after point. So you don't remember point 112 where you were.
I don't remember much of it. We certainly didn't go up. I didn't go up. I know there were several times went up. And some of them didn't like, but we didn't go up. It was a lieutenant Sampson who was in charge of that. So
now. The next thing is that before Operation Goodwood, there's various things, there's a lot of talk about mortars, and you seem to have become a... Do you remember any other mortar fire you came under, or was it just the one incident?
That one incident where we were under fire from these morning minis.
That was the worst time?
That was the worst time, yeah.
There's a mention of strafing by low-flying ME-109s, German fighters. Do you remember that? No casualties.
Is that jet planes? No.
No.
They would come flying over the beach, where they make a quick run and then get off and that quickly, because we had supremacy there. There was a few battles. I know one incident was when they were burying some of those planes and these kind of Germans from over. And we were, that's where I felt I was a coward, because I was more interested in burying the stuff. I didn't want to get back in your slipstream, because these Germans were flying around and dropping bombs in the way they were dropping. And we each German tank had an ACAT gun, a 0.5 machine gun, which fired big shells.
That was on the rim of the...
It was on the tank, you see. But because there wasn't any, we didn't get dive bombs. Seriously, because we were air supremacy, we tossed these guns, took them off, because they were on the top of the road, and they got many few trees and all that, they always get caught. And fact, Brownish is only a bit of a hand of a thing, find that thing, you had it, because you're exposed, you have to be fully exposed, so they used these guns, so we had nothing to fire back at them, No, we weren't bothered greatly by anything.
You said you felt nervous. What?
We were out in the open burying these chaps, and there was about a dozen of us to say farewell and burying these, and their paddy was there, and he was droning on about this and that. And these planes came over and stuff, and you could see everybody was fine, the infantry were fine, they had their own little light caps, and the shrapnel was flying all over the place, and they were back around this field. But I don't think it was from the United States,
No, that's all right. We'll drop that perhaps. It's just a very minor thing. But he got hit on the head. Steel Brown got hit on the head by a bit of shrapnel, AA shrapnel. Do you remember that at all? I think it's probably something or nothing. The next big thing then is that when you start moving up for Goodwood. Now, you weren't in Goodwood, but you had your own affair, but could you explain what exactly happened with that? Because it's not controversial, but your tank wouldn't work, would it? And we've perhaps alluded in passing, but what exactly happened to...
We think we've got either sugar in the tank, sugar in the petrol, or water in the petrol. And,
when did you find this out? Where did you got to when you found that out?
I think the start of the battle, they had the big 1,000 boats, and then they had the 25 pounders of keeping barrage, and then in the water, we couldn't move.
So where were you? Was this at the glider field?
We were at the glider field at that time.
At Ransart?
And we were on the run of the rain, so we just stayed there.
So this was the morning of the 18th of July?
Yeah.
And how had this got in? I mean, either sugar and or water?
Well, the they said later on, they found there was a bit of sabotage going on at the rear, that the restaurant was where they were putting water in some of the tanks. Fortunately, we weren't the only tank that put water in the tank. It was very dubious. When you think that this happened, you always felt that people were saying, he tried that, he didn't want to go into that part of it, and you felt a wee bit guilty. And it went really, because I had nothing to do with it, but my gun was all right. But that was the impression that other people got. You used to say, aye, who put it in? You know how the boys are, they're kidding me on, but half serious and half kidding, but we didn't. It? And especially, it was always Brownies type of people get picked for. And it certainly wasn't the crew that did any damage.
You were confident of that?
We're confident of that.
I mean, when you were told, when you realised you weren't going to go into the battle, I mean, nevertheless, how did you, were you pleased?
Great, but at the same time, at the background was a fear that the other boys were going to be playing on it, that was the only thing spoiled it, but we're quite happy with it, we're staying quiet for and listening to the battle.
Now, what do you remember of that day, from that, I mean, Steel Brownie went off, and
he
got
another tank, and he took the sergeant and got away, and he took the tank over and went on. We can only tell you what happened by the boys from the back, but we just got there alone, but we couldn't have what to do, the tank was working, and we just went around, and as the tank was getting reamed up, the boys were coming back, and we were digging holes all around, so one of them dug a hole under her, the tank, we were under the glider. Our way was, we were under the glider, we were safe under that glider, and we sent a patch paper, And this two boys dug a hole underneath the tank, and we had a trench, we sort of moved the tank over to where we were quite safe.
But you stayed just under the wing?
We stayed under the wing. And then, of course, during the night, the bombers came over and this was lit up with flares and flares, and of course, all these gliders were scarcely outlined, and down came the bombs. And I was in the tank, I never went that fucking tank. And I was looking through the monoculars in the telescope, and that's where that photograph of Duncan, that wee boy you saw, and he was killed on that. I saw him, he was Major Hutchison's kind of a Scots driver, scout car driver, they always had a wee scout car, he was a driver for that, but he was in any action because of that, because he didn't put scout car. And he was on about in a stretch and looking for. And I always felt, because he was a brave chap, I mean, the bombs landed all over the place, and he was on a bit of a stretcher, his enemy ends up, and he sent me a tank, and I felt like a hero, when he went to be my hand, he's on his own,
Did any bombs land close to you?
Not really, no. They set fire to some of the gliders, they were on fire, but they're lucky.
Yeah, I presume you had the... In this case, you would have the hatches shut.
I don't know who was with it. We were taking the fellow we were on. Sometimes you just left us in the room without a commander. And the hatches were shut. The hatches were shut. And the next morning, we come back from the wagon. This starts this. The wagon was away from there. The gliders
the raid was on the glider field. Were there many casualties? Because I believe there were.
Yeah, the crews that had come back, there was a lot of tanks. The crews had bailed out. Fortunately, we were good at bailing out, and the crews had come back, and the glider field was the area which they congregated and the big holes. But not a lot of got wounded anyway. And in fact, I had to practice it. Because it was a full regiment. It was a full regiment, and there must have been a lot of that. There was more killed and wounded on that night than there was.
And when you stayed in the tank, obviously, while the planes were there. What about the scene afterwards? Were you able to get out and help, or what happened next?
I remember we had to get a new tank. So anyway, this tank was obsolete, so I think I remember getting this new tank, and it was greased up to the eyeballs.
Now, what was the problem with what did you have to do?
The grease out the gun.
What do you mean, what was greased? I mean, was the whole tank or just the working parts? Or
the guns, all the guns were greased up, thick, black, greased, inside and outside the barrels, and that all had greased up to come out. The machine gun had to be stripped on each part of the It's a job which could have been done over the year, actually, and I always had spare crews there, but because of the so much passion, every spare board was sent up, and any tank that had been, we always had spare tanks there, had been sent up, and that was this fucking tank which was greased to that, with also been with a new engine, so, you know, they keep it from dust free, so that's not the and the driver even had to clean his engine, that's, you know, and that took us back in the day.
So you weren't in the attack on Hubert Folly? Because Steel Brownie was, but you weren't.
No.
So you wouldn't be there when Powell was killed, Powell, or however you pronounce it. Yeah. Were you there when he was killed, or?
I heard about it, but I wasn't there.
What was he like, you, as a major?
He was a territorial major. Kirkcaldy and all that area was Linoleum, but John Roberts was on the boat, second in command, he was Linoleum boy, you know, and Major Nairn, he was Nairn, you know. They're all, everything, they all knew each other, so they're all comrades in fife from during the, before the war, you know, and just joined the territory or something.
And what was Powell like?
In Bridlington, I was his batman went on holiday and they were looking for a batman to send him back. He's a nice wee maid, so I said, if I was staying there at Bridlington, just take my house here and then they said, I'm going to send back just for a week, I think. And I was supposed to brush his uniform. It's one of those blue, navy blue uniforms that, you know, they're little stripes and all that. And the oost gets onto it, you know, the white oost, and the brush out now. And I had a dinner brush, I've never got back in my life before. I never forgot that, I'm a very sensitive man. I never forgot that.
So you didn't like him?
I didn't like him. I put him in a charge when we're having a lesson, open air lesson. And it was a red hot day, the sun was beating down, and the instructor was a German boy with German voices. And I was, and he was pre-pass, and he noticed that I was so quick on a child over 15 years.
You were dozing off, basically. And you don't feel he was that competent from the sound, as an officer? I mean, not just.
It wasn't very long before we got winded, and you know, this was in Northern, and it was in the Paris Pale.
So you were, while during that whole day you were busy cleaning your tank up, it seems you. Now, you read, Steel Brownie says he got you back again with a new tank. He mentions Trooper McGilvery. I don't know what that's about. But he says the rest of my usual crew, including young Buck Buchanan. That's you, obviously. What did you think of Steel Brownie by this time as a tank commander and a troop commander, really?
We could speak to him. I mean, some of these officers have a wee bit highfalutin, you know, but he was one of us, you know, we could talk to him. We could be a bit cheeky to him, to a certain extent.
In what way?
Well, he says, if I'm going to go, I says, go up there, I kind of go up there, and I says, well, you get killed in that, you know, fuck, now you fuck, he says, you leave it to me, I'll see you all right. I says, I know, fine. He says, you'll be spawning off somewhere else while you're sweating out. And that's all you could talk to him. You could talk to him like a man to man.
Did he call you Buck?
Yeah.
So he didn't call you Trooper Buchanan or it was Buck. That was your nickname. Well, it's your name, really, isn't it?
I mean, Buchanan. Yeah. I was named Buck.
And what would you call him? I mean, would you call him sir, or what would you
call him? Well, I call him sir. They'd be good at. Well, as far as
sir, So you joke with him, but you pop a sir at the end. And you'd been in action with him a couple of times. That's true, you know. Did you think he? Some tank commanders had a reputation of being a bit risking their men's life as long as with their own a bit over much. Was he considered a good steady one, or was he a bit of a dasher, or was he useless? You know, I'm not useless. I know you obviously.
He was a man who always wanted to lead tank. He always wanted to be in the fifth of that. He volunteered for it. He was a person who would do it. That was the only thing. But fourth one was he was a lucky man. We've been in a lot of scrapes. We always come out. I mean, tanks all around us getting knocked out. We always come out, and I consider him a lucky chap, and I was glad to be with him. You know, and if he didn't like good with the big view there, our tank got knocked out, and I didn't get knocked out, but our tank was normal, sort of situation. So I mean, I felt I was lucky. I'm lucky with him. And if anybody got hurt, it was him that got hurt later on, but it was his own silly fault, you know, he was wounded him, but it was his own silly fault. But he was lucky, you know, and we're all lucky.
So, that...
You get people like him. See, Gordon Fidler, when he was with us, he was safe and secure and all that. And he left us, he had to bail out three tanks, and I said, you must have been and tell the Germans, I said, you know, kicking them on, but he had to bail out 3 times, and that's a...
So, although Steele Browning would volunteer to put you in dangerous positions, as a lucky tank commander, you didn't mind as much.
I suppose we'd be first again, you know, when he came back, he said, we're now going to ask it. And the first tank, I suppose we'd be the first fucking tank.
Usually the sergeant would go first.
That's it. Well, the major had to tell him. That's the problem. I let you get sergeant up front, you get into the middle of the three. The sergeant corporal has, I think the corporal had a big 17 pounder, a big customer. And he was putting in, I think, to get the sergeant up front. I don't know what that's the sergeant.
So sometimes you would go a second time, but he had to be told. What about some of the other sergeants in your troop? I mean, one of them that we got, well, Corporal Valance at the time. Did they make an impression, the other tank commanders, or would you know them well?
When we were in England in training, we had a lot of respect for some of the sergeants. The boys who would stand up for, you know, if a sergeant major would tell you, the sergeant would tell you. But I don't know what I'm doing.
Now, in what way? I mean, Valance was one of them. How was he? Originally he was on the headquarter troop, yeah. But he joined 4 Troop. What was so good about him? So he's coming up now, actually. What was so good about him?
He was cool, calm, and steady, collected. I wasn't in his crew, but I knew that he was the crew said that, a great boy watching. And although it was not entity, you know, as a corporal, but he showed his true worth in battle. He was cool. And he wasn't along, he used to stand up for us. He said, well, if I take my tank across that open ground, I'm going to lose it. There's going to be tanks. I've got to hear a good smoke there and make sure that I'm getting it. He wasn't a matter of turning off or something. What do you think to do? But it was a great time.
What about Sergeant Greenfield?
He was a good chap. He was a desert rat. And that's kind of a chap.
Was he on the 17th, the Firefly?
No, that's a couple we had on the Firefly. I don't know, maybe not on a Firefly or some other one. But anyway, I mean, I'm right, I always remember it, which was Spanish. It was an ex-Indian, I think it was an ex-regular Indian Army.
What was he like? He was good?
Yeah, he was. Not much to see. We didn't bother him after the sergeant.
Corporal Crony, he was another tank. There's Corporal Evans and Sergeant Litzer. Lister, yes.
he was a really nice chap, but he wasn't.